This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm your host, Caitlin White. We'll hear an interview later about traveling this holiday season, even though you shouldn't be. That's up after the news. If you're going to try and hang out with friends and family this season, the best place to do it is outside, unfortunately. Well, an article from Bloomberg has some tips to enjoy that time when it's freezing cold. You'll want clothing to be loose to allow for good blood flow and layered so you can adjust the amount of insulation as the weather and your comfort level changes, with the innermost layer helping to wick moisture and the outer layer should block the wind, rain, and snow. Find a fun activity to do to keep you moving and thinking of something else besides how cold you are. Bring a blanket and keep on eating. Experts say now is not the time to be dieting. As COVID-19 cases continue to surge around the country, the 911 emergency call system is reaching a breaking point, according to the American Ambulance Association. Public and private ambulance services in all 50 states need additional funding to last through the pandemic surges, representatives say, requesting $2.6 billion in allocations from the Provider Relief Fund for ground ambulance groups in particular. The U.S. has about 60,000 ambulances. And recently, CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield said the national death toll could near 450,000 by February, unless more people start observing safety precautions such as mask wearing. He says the reality is December and January and February are going to be rough times. I actually believe they're going to be the most difficult time in the public health history of this nation, largely because of the stress that's going to be put on our healthcare system. The number of hospitalized patients has gone up steadily since October. Previous peaks were set in late July and late April, with just under 60,000 hospitalizations. This holiday season, parents are facing the difficult decision of whether or not to travel to see their loved ones. Even before the pandemic, holiday travel with children could be stressful. But now parents will encounter additional demands to keep their family safe. Dr. Gary Kirkelas is a pediatrician in Arizona, as well as a member of the AAP Committee on Communications and Media, and will help us navigate this upcoming, usually busy, travel season. So we're talking about traveling in the holiday season. Now, what are some ways, doctor, that parents can, you know, decide and debate if traveling is worth the risk of exposure to them and their families?
It's a good question. We have guidance from the CDC that states that, you know, we're in a pandemic. Community spread is at an all-time high in many parts of the United States. So, you know, overall, I think the general message is that you should really, really not travel. Anytime we go out into public, we have more in likelihood of having contact with someone who has COVID. So sort of the overarching theme is stay at home. I know it's difficult. I know the pandemic, we've been dealing with it for, you know, close to a year now. The light is at the end of the tunnel. So if you can, just hold on a little bit longer. But yeah, the overall theme of the message that I've been telling my parents is that you do not want to travel. I know it's difficult, but if it is all possible, you know, not traveling. Now, I know that many parents have sort of already made the decision to travel, and there are some guidelines to follow if you are going to travel. But some of the things you can think about are, first, who are you going to visit? You know, if your family members are in that at-risk age group, so, you know, 65 or over, that's likely an indication that it's not worth the risk to travel. And if you yourself have any, you know, chronic conditions, again, not really worth the risk to travel. And then also think about the places you're going. You know, I think it's pretty much fairly easy to look at the location you're going to see what the community spread is. So for example, if you were to come to where I am at in Phoenix, you could see that our community spread is very, very high. So this is not a good location to come visit.
Now, again, you know, if you've already made the decision to travel, or maybe you have to travel for some reason, let's talk about the merits of, you know, car versus plane.
Sure. So, yes, car travel is far superior to airline travel. Now, I know the airline industry has done some amazing steps. You know, they're doing things like HEPA filters in the cabin. They're exchanging the air frequently during the flight. And they're also doing things like electric static spraying in between flights. So it is safer than it ever has been before. But in general, traveling by car is much, much better, because when you're in a cabin in an airplane, you don't know if the person in the front of you or behind you or next to you has COVID. And with the community spread that we're seeing, it's likely that there will be one or two people on your flight that has COVID. So traveling by car, much, much preferred. You can control who you're in contact with. You're staying within your household, and for you know, older kids, it might be a great way to see the country by traveling by car.
Now, a lot of places are doing, you know, for those travelers, testing and quarantining once you arrive somewhere, and all kinds of things to try and mitigate that spread. What are your thoughts on those measures?
They're great measures. You know, in fact, when we're doing things like temperature checks, we're picking up people who might be pre-symptomatic. When we're doing those sort of testing blitzes, we're picking up people who are asymptomatic, and then helping, you know, having them quarantine. So I think those are all great measures. They do have their limitations, and sometimes they're not feasible to do, but I think they're all great measures.
Now, looking at like the more emotional side of this, how can we talk to our kids about, you know, they probably can't see Santa at the mall, and maybe they're sad they can't go to grandma's house? How do we deal with just kind of the emotional side of all these changes this holiday season?
That's a very real factor. You know, holidays is a great time for everyone, from kids to adults. And we've just been through a year worth of pandemic. So what a better thing to have is to have the holidays to look forward to. And so it's devastating for people to, you know, after all this, to now have to hold back. And I think, you know, if you tailor your conversations to children based on the fact that, you know, I have a 3-year-old and 6-year-old, and I'm not sure exactly how much they're getting out of the conversations we have, but I think they understand that, you know, there's a lot of people who are sick outside, and that we can't necessarily go visit grandma and grandpa, because that involves getting out on an airplane, and, you know, grandma and grandpa might be more sensitive to the virus if we give it to them. And I think they can take to it. And, you know, with the light at the end of the tunnel, I think, you know, if we can just hold out a little bit longer and have that conversation, things should be back to normal in 2021, or some version of it.
Great. Do you have any other, I mean, I know the guiding principle is pretty much don't travel, but it sounds right. Like there are some ways to do it a bit safer if
yes.
You must. Are there any other tips you want to throw out there?
Yes. So if airline travel is the way that you have to travel, there are some tips you can do. First off is the length of your flight. So if you're going to be in a cabin with someone with COVID, you want that time to be as minimal as possible. So the shorter flights are better. So that hour flight is a lot better than that 6-hour flight. The other things you can do is look for direct flights. So a multiple stop is going to have you going through different planes and going through the terminals, all more interactions with the public, all the more likelihood you might risk getting a COVID infection. So direct flights are much, much, much better. And then just bringing all those pandemic essentials, like bringing your mask. Consider opting out of a meal, so that way you can keep your mask on the entire time. Bringing your hand sanitizer, and remembering to bring your hand sanitizer, especially if you're traveling with small children. You're going to want a small dispenser that you can keep in a purse or a backpack, and then a larger dispenser that for refills. And then one of the things that we don't think about that has nothing to do with COVID is just getting your flu shot. You know, getting that flu shot 2 weeks beforehand will protect you. And the last thing you want to do is deal with COVID and the flu at the same time. A lot of people forget that last winter we actually had a bad flu season, and we hit some records for kids under 4 requiring hospitalization. So if you can get that flu shot, you'd be much, much better off.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with your questions or give us some feedback at COVID19@radiomd.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe, warm, and 6 feet apart.